ye the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which ye have greatly recompense of reward. For if ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. For yet in a little while, and he shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But ye are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Calm down a little bit. Mike and Debbie walked in. I was a little thinking I'm going to have to do a big magic trick this morning and teach a class and a lesson I hadn't prepared for. So glad to see him walking in. Brother Jim has read a passage to us that talks a lot about faith. And that leads into chapter 11 of Hebrews, where it's typically called the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Heroes. And that's really what we'll be focusing on over the next, really it's going to take me a couple months to get through all the different heroes that are found in Hebrews chapter 11. But before we just dive into why these people are heroes and why their faith is admirable, really we need to understand what was being discussed prior to chapter 11, talking about them. And that begins by hopping back to the end of chapter 10 in the verses that Brother Jim read. In times of difficulty, people are always looking for, you know, for lack of a better term, a hero. It might work in the movies, but in real life, Superman's probably not coming to save us if we have some great need. So we need to be a little bit more realistic about the types of heroes we can count on in our life. And when in times of crisis, we need to be able to have real heroes or real examples that we can rely on to help us through whatever issues we may be facing in our life. So in this series, as we look through at this group of heroes, we're going to look about their faith and how that faith was able to help them overcome the challenges they were facing right then and there. But we need to, like I said, we need to jump back a little bit at the end of Hebrews and talk about why they're there. Now, in the passage that Jim just read for us, we find that the audience to which Hebrews was being written had obviously endured some persecution. They, based upon the text, they endured deep suffering. And, you know, whenever we see someone that's suffering, we look at them and say, I've had it worse. You know, I've suffered a lot. I mean, we like to justify how we're worse off than someone else. But really, that's not what we should be doing. We want to think that, you know, while no one's gone through what we've gone through, we need to realize that other people have gone through things that we can't even imagine or maybe even know about. And so by looking at the Hebrew Christians had endured after they'd been baptized, verse 32 tells us they endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Based upon the text, we could tell that some of them had been insulted verbally, had been encountered and discussed with, but we also can tell that some of them had been physically mistreated, had abuse actually given to their bodies. But it says in verse 33, if they had not personally endured these things, that they might have been close to someone who had. That if they weren't the people that had gone through it, they knew of someone that had, and they could still relate to the suffering that was going to be talked about here at the end of chapter 10. Some of them had also been arrested and placed in prison, had their property, their possessions, their, you know, everything that they may have had. The word is used plundered, at least in the English Standard Version. I'm not sure if that's what Jim's version read. But in the English Standard, it says they were plundered. And they were taken away from them. And thankfully, I've only been robbed a few times in my life, but when you are, you don't feel real great. You start wondering, you know, why would someone do this, or why me, or whatever the case may be. But it is demoralizing when you are robbed. And so thinking of this, I mean, this really pales in comparison, I should say, to what maybe we face today. I mean, yes, maybe verbally we're confronted, or and maybe some of you have had physical altercations based upon discussing the word, or that maybe you haven't been arrested because of it, or maybe you haven't had things robbed because of it. But on some level, I mean, we can identify with this. But whatever that level of mistreatment or trouble that we've been going through, we can still put our trust in God. And the situations that the Hebrew writer is talking about here definitely tested the faith of each of the people going through that suffering. But based upon what we're reading here, they continue to show themselves as being all in with what they are dedicated to God. They had compassion on those who were suffering, and they accepted the plundering of their possessions because they knew ultimately there was going to be a better reward. What was lost here on earth, you know, you often see after a fire or maybe a tornado, we only lost things. And, I mean, and that is a great way of looking at it. You can't replace a life. I can replace a television. I can replace a car. I can replace a structure. But that's not the attitude these folks had here in Hebrews chapter 10. They accepted and were able to get past this plundering because they knew whatever they lost here on earth, no matter how grand or opulent or, you know, luxurious it might be, really it's going to pale in comparison to what's awaiting us in heaven, the reward that's there for us. So they were constantly looking at the goal, which is heaven, and the hope of eternal life, and balanced it versus the sufferings they were having here. They kept enduring, even though it was difficult. And so, based upon that, the writer of Hebrews feels, you know, these people need some encouragement. They need to understand that they're not the only people that have had these things happen to them. Verse 35 says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." He's saying, when you're under duress, or you're being abused, or you're being just mistreated based upon your faith, that's the worst time in the world for you to give up. When things are tough isn't when you should shirk away. No, when things are tough, that's when you need to rely. You need to dig in even harder and rely upon your faith. Over the last four verses of chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews points out that their confidence and the trust that they have in God will matter. It will have a great reward. There will be an eternal benefit by continuing to trust in Him despite whatever trials they may be facing. Therefore, endurance is needed in life. Because, nothing worth having is easily gained, or, you know, something along those lines. Heaven is a perfect example of that. It is an endurance, and it is something that we have to endure some of life's difficulties. And when we do, we can gain that reward. Verse 38 says that the righteous live by faith. Well, it says the righteous live by faith, and that has to be the overriding attribute that someone who is righteous would have. They've placed their trust in God. Why else would they be righteous? Righteousness is not a human default. Humans want to do what's good for them. They're looking what's best for number one, themselves. That's not something that people generally do on their own. These people that have been righteous are that way because they have their faith. That being said, I think we would not be very realistic to go through life and think that because we are righteous and because we have faith, that we're just going to sail through life and no one's ever going to cause us any, you know, stress in our lives because of it. Our trust in God must be tested. It will be tested. And faith is following through with what we believe. We believe that God is in control, but we also believe that our faith will be tested. And If the righteous live by faith, they can come through that. But when we're struggling, like I said, that's not the time to become insecure or timid, for lack of a better term. I really thought about what word I want to use there. I don't know that timid is right. But I mean, that's not when you want to back up. You need to be assertive with your faith. And verse 39 makes that clear. It says, those that shrink back are destroyed. You can't go halfway in your life as a Christian and then decide to not follow through with it. What good is it if you decide to begin the journey with God, go through some difficult times, and then just give up? When we decide to dedicate our lives in service to the Lord, we can't begin that journey thinking, well, when the times gets tough, I'm just not going to be able to do this. We have to have that dedication from the very beginning, knowing that trials will face us, and that regardless of those trials, we have to be able to have our faith be strong enough to carry us through it. The writer of Hebrews then confidently states that we are not going to be the ones that shrink back. If we are righteous and we have this faith in us, we're not going to shrink back. The chapter ends, though, really in a bad place. Chapters are constructs of human design. Really, these verses flow right into each other. And verse 39 at the end of chapter 10 really then goes right into verse 1 and so forth, end of chapter 11 of Hebrews. The writer had just discussed why we should continue to serve and trust in God despite any troubles or trials we may be facing. But the writer of Hebrews is just really getting started talking about faith. Now the writer will tell us why our faith is so important. As we begin reading in chapter 11, the first verse we see is, of course, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. A verse that I'm sure many of us here have heard multiple times. It's something very familiar to us. And we understand this verse fairly well because we generally have a strong concept of the understanding of assurance, which is the word used here in English Standard. But the King James that Jim uses, I believe, uses the verse substance instead of assurance. Now, substance doesn't have the same instant, I guess, recognition. Assurance, I'm assured of something. But it's the substance? Well, that doesn't quite make it so easily to understand. It's a compound word, sub and stance. Well, a lot of words in our language begin with sub. A submarine is underwater. Subterranean means underground. Substance is standing under. Think of stance, it's your posture, it's your stance. So this is something that's standing under what you are there, what you're talking about. And basically the understanding here is that faith stands under our hope. Really, faith is supporting our hope. It's easy to understand assurance by understanding that the idea behind substance makes this really become more contextual. It adds more depth to this. It's just not assurance. It's a foundation. It's the pilings under the bridge that hope is. It's going to hold up the bridge, but even when there's rushing waters and floods coming, the bridge, those pilings are going to withstand all that. That's what the substance is. It's the basis of our faith. Most of us realize that chapter 11, like I said, is known as the Hall of Heroes or the Hall of Faith. And we'll find as we go through here that every one of these people have one thing in common, and that is when they had trials, their faith is what got them through. Back in Hebrews 10, verse 39, those who shrink back from putting their trust in God are destroyed. But our heroes have faith as a foundation upon, they hope for a great reward based upon their faith. And it was the foundation for their belief in what had been promised to them. And faith was the foundation that gave them hope that their souls were going to live on after this life was over. Despite all the trials they were facing, they knew this was just the beginning. Their souls were going to live on. Faith is the conviction of things not seen, verse 11 says. Faith gives us the conviction concerning what we're not able to see with our eyes. Faith is not seeing something and then believing. That's not very faithful. I see that chair. I don't have faith to understand that chair is there. No, faith is seeing things that you haven't seen, yet still believing. Paul tells us how to handle such afflictions and difficulties with this in mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 reads, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are seen are unseen are eternal." That chair will not be here at some point. Don't know when that'll be, but at some point, you don't think of a chair as being transient, but it's just not going to be here at some point. But heaven and all that's promised to us, that's what is unseen, but that we have faith in will be eternal. And so this verse is giving us the same point that we've been taking from our passages here in Hebrews. Faith gives us the conviction to see the unseen. With our faith, we're able to see the goal. We're able to see the eternal things of life. And we are able to have hope in the future. Verse 2 of Hebrews 11 tells us that it is by faith that these heroes were approved by God or commended by God. Their great faith, gave them hope for things that they hadn't seen yet. They were able to endure whatever came upon them based upon that. But really, there's more being told to us here in verse 2. The word translated in many versions as commended or approved literally means to testify or to give witness. These people that lived a long time ago are on record for us to testify and to give witness about not only their faith, but why their faith helped them through their trials. Their faith was not blind. It wasn't baseless. It was based upon something unseen, but it still was based upon the reward and the hope that they had to look forward to that. We may not be facing the same trials, but no matter what we have facing us, we have to have this same kind of vision. We have to have this same type of devotion to the unseen. We cannot look at life and only see the things that are physical. If that's all there is to life, then we are the most miserable of people. We have to see that there is something more. We have to see the eternal reward that awaits us. And we have to see that there will be justice coming for all. Justice for us and justice against those that were not righteous, that were not faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Here is one of our foundations of our faith. When we begin to lose our faith and might need a little bit of endurance, verse 3 tells us we can look at the physical world around us and understand that this came out of nothing. It wasn't like you went to Lowe's and bought an earth starter kit. No, this was spoken into existence by the word, the power of the word that God has. It's the only logical, rational answer for why this earth is here. The creation, though, is an unseen event. It was all done before anyone was able to see it. By the time Adam came about, pretty much everything had been created. He then was brought to life and was able to observe it. No one saw this. But we have to accept it by faith that that's how this earth came into existence. No one was there, but yet we can have a rational faith to understand that. So faith is what gets us through life's difficulties. As we read, "You have need of endurance. Our endurance is only strengthened by being tested." When I walked that half marathon, I didn't just get up on the morning of the event and say, "I'm going to walk 13.1 miles this morning." All summer long, I was out gaining endurance. That is something that you have to do for endurance. You have to test yourself. You have to go for it. And your faith is no different. We need to add more to our faith, and we need to make it stronger for that endurance. So with this discussion of why faith is being discussed, leading into this Hall of Heroes, we'll then begin a series looking at how each of these heroes applied these concepts in one way or the other. And next week, we'll begin by looking at Abel and the faith that he had. Cliff has the prayer, and he will lead us in that prayer and then be dismissed to our class.